Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
There's only been one time in my life that I've tried to say a prayer. And I can't claim that it was an act of atonement or transcendence. It was pretty much straight up a negotiation. I was in 11th grade, and I had gone to a speech and debate tournament that was the state qualifier, and I came in third place in my category, but only first and second place got to advance to the state championships in San Francisco. And so, you know, that was disappointing, but life goes on. But about 3 weeks later, my speech and debate coach called me to say that the kid who came in second, there was a good chance he wouldn't be able to go to San Francisco. And if that played out, would I be available to take his place? And that just flipped me like a pancake. Because one moment, you know, this isn't even an option I'm considering, and the next, it is something that I want more than anything I've ever wanted in my life. I want to go to San Francisco. I want to compete in this tournament. But above all, I want to stay at the Jack Tar Hotel, since demolished, with hundreds and hundreds of hyper-articulate and hyper-hormonal teenagers. And I am trembling with desire. I'm pacing around my bedroom, just feeling powerless, wishing that there was some way I could just tilt the scales in my favor. And after a bit, I got down on my knees beside my bed. Now, nothing in my life had prepared me for this moment. I did not grow up in a religious family. We were absolutely hands-off agnostic Jews. And I had been going to an Episcopalian all-boys school, but it was like a badge of honor that you ignored the weekly chapel service and just secretly played blackjack in the pews. So I guess I approached this moment as if God were like a really big department store Santa. And for a couple of self-conscious minutes, I sat on Santa's lap and said that I wanted to go to San Francisco and I wanted to stay in the hotel with all the teenagers. I was basically asking God to send me to Gomorrah. And again, I hadn't been schooled at all in the act of prayer. And it wasn't like I was, you know, offering up a lifetime of devotion in return, or that I was going to commit myself to charitable acts for the rest of my life. I was pretty much saying that, you know, if I could have this one thing, I would never ask for anything else again. And within 24 hours, my debate coach called and said second place kid was out and I was in. And I went to San Francisco and I competed in that tournament and I got a trophy and I advanced to the Nationals in Colorado. But more important, on a balcony on the 20th floor of the Jack Tar Hotel, I had my first French kiss with Gina, the speech and debate wild girl. And I don't know if God had a hand in that, but I was true to my word, and I never tried to get in touch again. But, you know, that begs the question, what was I going to do the next time I really wanted something badly? And so, fade out, fade in, 35 years later, I'm in my 50s, and there is something that I want badly. It's the same thing that I wanted in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. I want a big-time Hollywood career. And, you know, I've gotten up at Slolio several times now and talked about that single-minded pursuit and the near misses and the heartbreaks and the bizarre encounters with egomaniacal directors. I was always writing a screenplay, and there was always a producer who was on the verge of promising to read one of the screenplays. And there was this nagging feeling that I was starting to age out of this dream. And that was panicking because I didn't have a plan B. And so one winter morning, I was walking my dogs at 5:30 a.m. as I do, and it was December, and it was cold and clear, and it was still very much a night sky. And I looked up and I saw a shooting star screaming across the blackness, going from white to yellow to orange and flaming out, and I stood there with quiet awe until a little voice, I guess my inner Hollywood agent, said, "You should have made a wish." And I thought, okay, yeah, that was a missed opportunity, but you know, it's winter, the skies are dark every morning, I'll see another one, and this time I'll be ready. And you probably all know that phrase, be careful what you wish for. You know, maybe you've seen the movie Aladdin, or you know, you've read an O. Henry story. Wishes can backfire on you. You know, I might wish for my big Hollywood break and a happy family and come home to a household of, you know, lobotomized, grinning Stepford people and get a phone call from a brand new production company funded by white supremacists that want me to write a series of Adolf Hitler action hero movies. So I had to be careful, and I was trying to craft, you know, each morning when I would walk the dogs, I was trying to craft a wish that kind of, you know, touched all the bases, but it didn't overreach, and above all, just didn't leave me vulnerable to loopholes and sucker punches. And when I thought, you know, okay, I finally had a fairly airtight wish, then I went right into rehearsals. Because I had it in my mind that you had to start making your wish while the shooting star was still visible in the sky, and you had to wrap up within 5 seconds of its vanishing. I don't know if that's the way it works, but it's a superstition. And, you know, we do get to kind of make the rules. That's why we like superstitions. So I would practice and look at the night sky with almost stage fright, you know, that my cue was going to come any minute, and I would jolt myself and go, make the wish, and then I would freeze and lose precious seconds in the process. And so I knew, you know, I wasn't ready, and now it was summertime, and it was, you know, light mornings, and I could just, you know, work on it. And by the time it got dark again in the late fall, I was locked and loaded. I was ready to make that wish on demand and do it with a rapid but smooth cadence that was designed to please the shooting star fairy, you know, or whoever was in charge. Now, you know, there are a handful of definitions for the term man-child. And I guess the most common one is the Peter Pan who doesn't want to grow up. But I would humbly submit that the 50-year-old guy who's waiting to see a shooting star so he can make a wish, so he can change his life, so he can start to live his actual life that he thought he was deserving of all along, that's really the essence of a man-child. A sleepwalking dad and a sleepwalking husband. And you know, I walked the earth for a good 2 years, nervously looking up at the sky, waiting for a shooting star that never arrived. And eventually I had to admit that this was my actual life. and either I wake up and I engage with it, or there just aren't going to be enough wishes to fix the damage that I was doing. So I put that wish down, and I started looking at the skies, not with anxiety, but awe and appreciation. But there is one piece of unfinished business here. I do still have this wish that I need to release. So if one of you guys in the back will do your best shooting star imitation, I can have a little bit of closure. I wish that I can share the rewards of a successful, fulfilling writing career with my healthy family.